Start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for each and every person here and those that are soon to join as well. Lord, I just want to pray for safety for them wherever they are in their families, Lord. And we just thank you for technology and the opportunity to connect like this. We thank you for your presence here in this conversation and in this devotional tonight. We love you. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we're going to be in John chapter 5. So you can pull that up on Bible Gateway or your actual Bible. Don't worry, we're not going through the whole chapter. We're only going to be in that first part. So Wednesday nights are my night. So for those of you that only tune in on Wednesday nights for me, you should definitely tune in to the other nights as well. However, this is my first Wednesday night. So if this is your first time here, then so far, you're only tuning in Wednesday nights for me. Thank you for that love and affection. I appreciate it. So my goal every Wednesday night is to share different passages in the Bible that have had a kind of lasting impact on my own life, things that have helped shape who I am. And one of the biggest things that I do with the kind of work that I do in podcasting, content creation, and even as a pastor, is I like to try and dive into things that people have believed for a long time and maybe have had a wrong interpretation of something or just a general misconception. And I like to kind of reevaluate those scriptures and passages and glean something new and different. There have been a lot of passages that have been used to hurt people, that have been used inappropriately. And so my goal with a lot of what I share here is to hopefully set some people free from maybe some old harsh teachings. And not to say that just because a teaching is harsh, it's wrong. That's not it at all. But just to be able to reevaluate and relook at some of the scriptures that have helped shape all of us. And so I do want to ask this question. It will be a mic question. So I'm going to follow Melissa's lead on this and go ahead and put an X in the chat if you are willing to share. And Tim will unmute you. I'm just presumptively saying that Tim will unmute you. But the question is this, and it's okay if you take a second to ask it or to think about it. Do you have a story? It doesn't have to be super long. A story of a time when you prayed for something, big or small, and while praying for it, after praying for it, you really believed that God would answer it. Not you hoped he would, but that you really believed that when you prayed, God would answer that prayer.
Right. Hi. My name's Leilani. So I actually just got back from being a student missionary. And so one of the things that I prayed for was I actually ended up going to the country alone. So I had prayed to God and I asked him to like just give me people I could hang out with and be with and just so I wouldn't be by myself. And literally the next day, my landlady and landlord came and gave me food. And then they like introduced me to all of our neighbors. And by then I was able to have friends and stuff. But like after I had finished the prayer, like I just felt this peace and I was like, all right, he's going to take care of it. So that was pretty cool.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. All right. Is there, Jody, you said so often. So would you be willing to share just one of them?
Oh, I'm unmuted. Hey, guys. Sorry, I can't show you my workout look.
Fine.
What was the question again?
So what is a story of a time that you prayed for something and really believed that God would answer it?
For a long time, I tried to get a financial education business going. And I really thought that's where I was supposed to be. And I have skills in it. And I know what I'm doing and have the right background and supports. And I've been fighting for it for now 11 years.
Wow.
Because I know that's like I can see me thriving there. And I can see how I can bless people with this information and all this stuff. And I'm almost getting to the point where I need to either cut out or keep fighting hard. But yeah, it's just something that I have seen visually that is kind of my spot of where I would thrive in a professional manner to bless the environment or not the environment, the community and their families. And I'm still fighting.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. And Leilani, thank you to you as well for sharing your stories. This is going to be this is going to be a time now. We're going to dive straight into scripture here, starting in verse 1. So this is early in Jesus's ministry, and I'm actually going to change what version I'm in. The inner pastor in me just has to have my specific version. Why not, right? So we're going to dive into this and do a pretty quick read through. And I'm just going to talk through this a bit and point out some things that I have noticed over the few times that I've read this scripture. This has actually become one of my favorite passages in all of scripture. And the reason being, I think that this passage has a lot more to do with our current experience of faith than a lot of other stories in the Bible. And so we're gonna jump into chapter 5, verse 1. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. And it says, "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the Sheep Gate, a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has 5 roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. Verse 5, one man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. So for those who may not know the Pool of Bethesda, the story of the Pool of Bethesda was basically, if you were sick, had some sort of ailment that couldn't be healed by anyone else, once in a while, and I don't remember if there was a if it was a specific timeline or regularity or if it was just happenstance. But basically the belief was that every once in a while, an angel would come and touch the waters of the pool. And when he saw those ripples in an otherwise still pool, the first person to get to the water is healed. The first person to touch that water is healed. And so the idea is everyone is waiting and it becomes this mad dash of all of these individuals trying to get healed, blind, lame, and paralyzed. And so we're introduced in verse 5 to one man there who had been an invalid for 38 years. We don't know if that's how old he was or if just 38 years, he could be 68 and he's been an invalid since he was 30. We're just unsure. Either way, 38 years it's 11 years longer than I've been alive. And it is a significant amount of time. So we're going to look at verse 6. And verse 6 and 7, this interaction is like the funniest in scripture to me, and also the most aggravating, and I'm going to explain why. "When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, 'Do you want to be healed?' Here's a man sitting by a pool that is believed to heal people, and Jesus walks in and has the audacity to talk to someone who is an invalid sitting by the pool that's supposed to heal him and ask the question, 'Do you want to be healed?' In verse 7, the sick man answered him, 'Sir,'" I can imagine him biting his tongue as hard as he can to not just go off on Jesus here, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up." So his specific disability is looking like it is, he is paralyzed. Not sure if that's legs or all the way down, but, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am going, another steps down before me." I love this answer from him because he's not just saying, "Yes, I want to be healed." He's saying, "Duh, I want to be healed. Like, why would you even ask that? But this is my situation." It's not, it could be that the man hears this and thinks that Jesus is implying that he's not trying hard enough. "Do you want to be healed? Like, are you even trying to get to this pool? You've been here for 38 years. What are you doing?" And the man answers defensively saying, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool. I can't get there. And everyone else is faster than me." In verse 8, Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. This moment in scripture tears down an idea that I have heard taught, I have been taught, and that I see a lot of people living their life by, and has caused, in my opinion, and once again, these are opinions from my end, quite a bit of damage in false expectations. The idea is this. This is a story in the Bible where this man's faith had absolutely nothing to do with whether or not he was healed. Most of the time that you see Jesus heal someone or someone is healed, he says what? Your faith has made you well. Go in peace, right? He always says your faith has made you well. But here he says, do you want to be healed? And then get up, take up your bed, and walk. In verse 9, and at once the man was healed. I want to be clear in saying the man wasn't healed after he stood up. The man was healed before he stood up. So even if we want to argue that the man had faith by standing up in the first place, I disagree with that only in the order of the text, because when Jesus heals someone, when Jesus reaches out his hand, it is immediate. There is no waiting period. And so here's this moment where he says, at once the man was healed and he took up his bed and walked. One of the most frustrating things that I've experienced in my own life is when people have told me, man, if only you would pray more. And we've heard this in regards to mental health and disabilities. We've heard this in regards to cancer. I actually was told this. My mom has battled cancer 3 different times and still alive and kicking. She is my hero and I love her. And she is, but my family was told throughout her battles several times, are you guys praying? Have you prayed hard enough? Have you prayed more? As if the prayer itself or our faith itself is the thing that is going to be the determining factor in what happens and in the outcome. And here's the faulty belief. The faulty belief is that your faith or our faith earns some sort of favor with God that means he will do whatever it is that we want him to do. If we would just have enough faith, then God would respond. Now, yes, there are times in the Bible, and it's, I would say, the vast majority of the time, where someone is faithful and God does respond. But what I love about God is that he's bigger than just one type or one way to answer a prayer. And at the end of the day, it is God who determines whether or not he's going to answer this prayer. Here is a man who is sick for 38 years, and Jesus heals the guy just because he wants to be healed. There's no, I need you to pray for me, I need you to believe and this will be so, or because you have believed this, it will be so. Simply, you are healed because you want to be. Now, we're gonna keep going here in the second half of verse 9. It says, now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, it is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to take up your bed. But he answered them, the man who healed me, that man said to me, take up your bed and walk. I do want to be clear that if this man had been sitting by this pool for 38 years, this bed is likely all he had. For all intents and purposes, his arms were a U-Haul and he was moving. That's what was happening here, right? He takes up his bed and walks. And the Jews see this man who had clearly been an invalid for 38 years. And their first reaction is not, wow, look, you're walking. What happened? Their first reaction is, you're breaking the Sabbath. In verse 11, but he answered them, healed me. That man said to me, take up your bed and walk. And this is what I love. This man, when he has an encounter with Jesus, there is no amount of religious tradition or instruction from religious leaders that can stop him from following the experience that he had with Jesus. That Jesus showed up so powerfully and he had this profound encounter with Jesus that supersedes everything else. And so verse 12, they asked him, who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? And verse 13, here's the craziest part of all of this. Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn as there was a crowd in the place. This is incredible to me. Not only does Jesus heal this man, if you believe there was any ounce of faith in this man prior to this moment, he had no idea who was healing him. That is insane to me. That is absolutely crazy to me. And verse 14, afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you. And the man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. Then he goes back to the religious leaders who were angry with him and tells them, yeah, I know who it was. It was Jesus. You have to know who did this for me. It's not even that he was trying to sell out Jesus. He wanted them to know who healed him. 16. And this is why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, my Father is working until now, and I am working. So the end of this, passage, to that whole second half, from the second half of 9 to verse 17, is actually a perfect lead-in to what we are going to be talking about next week, because we are going to be diving into the Sabbath very specifically. And I'm going to address one of the more popular verses that talk about the Sabbath and that we use very actively as Adventists in our practice in keeping the Sabbath and our instruction in theology on the Sabbath. But in the midst of COVID-19 and in the midst of schools being put online, I know some of you or many of you are probably still in school, and it probably started back up this week or last week, and you're trying to be patient with your professors as they figure out what technology is. In a time of a lot of uncertainty and frustration and anger and confusion and fear, I myself have experienced fear. I have asthma, so everyone is a threat to me, apparently. I just walk around and do this to everyone I see, and I never leave my house. The reality is there will be a time where you think, I need to pray about this, and you may not get the answer that you expected. Or it may seem like God hasn't answered your prayer at all. And there will be someone that looks at you and says, have you prayed enough? Have you had, if only you would have more faith. And what I want to say to you in the moments where that has been said to you, whether it's in the past, whether it's happened very recently, or whether it is in the future, and it hasn't, then I hope you back pocket this and whip it out when you need to. I hope that you remember that it is not your faith that determines your value as a Christian and as a believer and as a human being. It is not your faith that determines what God will or won't do in your life. It is simply God who determines all of it. God determines your value. And from Genesis 1 to Revelation 21, God says you are valuable. And he says that with the exact same voice that he used to speak the universe into existence. That is a voice that has power. And in addition, he says not only that you are valuable, but he says, I am actively working in your life. And I have given you wisdom. I have given you discernment as a Christian that you can walk confidently knowing that you are walking in my will. And if you're not, I will gently or not so gently get you back on the right track. But ultimately, we're going to get through this and we're going to work through this together. I told you that my mom battled cancer 3 different times, survived. Still alive and kicking, and I love her to death. But what I didn't tell you, and many do know this story if you followed any of my content or any of my story over the years, that literally a month and a half prior to my mom's first diagnosis with cancer, I lost my father to a heart attack. There is no 100% certain formula that we follow that prayer equals action from God. And the way that I've come to see prayer over the years, is more about me aligning myself with God's will than it is God following my own. And so Jody asked the question, are you saying that my amount of faith does not directly dictate the outcome of my prayers? It is all up to God. Yes and no. Remember, there are also, and I did mention this, there are several stories, and I said the vast majority of stories, where faith is rewarded. And there are times where God does, because of someone's faith, act. So I don't want to tell you that faith is pointless. But what I want you to keep in mind is that faith isn't everything. Sometimes I think that our belief system is misplaced, and we're told to believe in the power of faith and not the power of God. If only I would have more faith. The problem is that your faith and your level of faith is not what heals you. Faith is simply a tool that sustains you through difficult times. Faith is not meant to protect us. Faith is meant to sustain us. And I hope that that is encouraging to you. And correct, God won't necessarily punish you because you don't have enough faith. That is correct. That is the kind of other half of this, is that because you didn't have enough faith, God is not going to be like, well, you didn't have enough faith, sorry. Now, there is a time, which is the final judgment, where obviously that is a thing. Did you believe or not believe? But I'm talking about normal, everyday life, that as we go about our business, as we go about our jobs, school, whatever, this is a thing that hopefully we can keep in mind, that God will sustain us and that our faith is meant to help us navigate these times. It is not meant to be the solution to them. So, feel free to drop some responses in the chat. Feel free to share some of these things. So Edgar, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And that is beautiful. And the Bible even teaches to some extent that faith itself is a gift from God. This is, Jody, wow. Yes, it is. It can be an incredibly frustrating experience when you are praying for something to happen and it seems like it's not happening yet. Or it's not happening as consistently as I would like it to. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. One of the most profound things and evidences for this that I believe is simply this. Every single, 100% of the time, every single conversion experience happened prior to faith. Anyone who has ever not believed in God and then suddenly believed in God, God did not do something because they believed. God did something before they believed. And that's what hits the nail. That's what drives the nail home for me, is this idea that God can act regardless of our level of faith. Our level of faith is just something that reminds us and helps sustain us when it seems like God isn't working. When it seems like he is absent, there is this beautiful, wonderful thing called faith that reminds us that, yes, God absolutely is. Romans 8:28 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. For God works in all things for the good of those who love him, for those that are called according to his purpose. That is not everything happens for a reason. That is, in all things, God can work something good from it and in it. And so I would encourage you, don't necessarily look for the reason that something happened. Instead, look for the way that God is working in whatever has happened. The way that I'm trying to remember who actually coined this phrase or coined this. I think it's actually Mr. Rogers, where he says, look for the helpers in a tragedy. Look for the helpers in COVID-19, in all of this pandemic going on. Look for the helpers. Look for the people who are making this better. Look for the ways that God is working in order to protect and sustain his people. So I do want to just open up the mics one more time. If you want to go ahead and put an X in the chat, if there's something that you would like to share in response to this, you are welcome to disagree with me. Just know you'll be wrong. I'm kidding. We can disagree. Don't worry. I'm not actually going to say that to you, I promise, but you are welcome to chat. You can go ahead and put an X in the chat if there's something that you'd like to share over the mic as we kind of close out. And then once we hear from two or three people, I'll then close us off with prayer. So, is there anyone? All right. I'm trusting Tim to be on the ball here.
Hey, thank Ryan. Thanks for, my name is Matthew, by the way, not Simon. That's my last name. Two things. So I've seen God answer prayer. My mom was ill because she had several health issues about 10 years ago. One was cancer, then there was a couple other physical ailments. And we trusted God to heal him. He did. But and sometimes, you know, people say answered prayer. God answers every prayer. It just might not be the answer you're looking for at that moment. Mm-hmm. He answered the prayer we were looking for at that moment then with healing. You know, she came through several rounds of physical illnesses. But last year, he gave an answer to a prayer that at the time I wasn't too thrilled with. There was a girl that I, you know, was developing feelings for, and I really wanted to have a deeper relationship that could potentially maybe lead to marriage, honestly. And, you know, we were seeing each other, you know, a little bit, and I told her straight up, like, you know, I love you and I want to see you more. And I felt like it was mutual for a few months. You know, we were kind of off and on again. We kind of led a Bible study together. Then, you know, her school schedule kind of took her away, and then she came back, and I thought, well, here's a chance. And she just kind of disappeared, blocked me, and then just kind of just lived her own life. And at the moment, that hurt me. But I had to come to a realization that that could have been God answering that prayer, to where that might not have been the one I needed to be with, or at least not at the time. So, you know, but it really hurt me. But I had to trust God to say, you know what, I prayed for that to happen, didn't get the answer I wanted. Maybe if the answer was yes, regardless of if it was good or not, I could have, you know. And of course, you know, hindsight 2020. But at least at the moment, I felt like that could have been an answer to prayer that was better for me, even though that wasn't the answer I was looking for.
Correct.
So and I think that does happen as well.
I love that, and thank you for sharing that. And I think that definitely plays off the point of that I made of prayer becoming about aligning myself with God's will, and learning to accept whatever that answer might be. That doesn't mean that we can't ever pray presumptively. There are moments where we do pray and say, you know, God, please do this. God, do this. In the Bible, God will heal you. And there are these presumptive moments where even the disciples say, you know, in the name of Jesus Christ, stand. That is a presumptive statement. I don't know that I have the faith to go up to someone and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. So absolutely, there are those times. But prayer to me has definitely become this thing of me trying to align myself with where God is leading me and what God is doing, rather than trying to get God to do what I want him to do. And so I want to thank you guys so much for joining and for sharing what you have. Andrew, I loved your comment. God doesn't save us because of our faith. He gives us faith when we know he has already saved us. And Pal, God gives us evidence so that we can have faith. Absolutely. Faith is given to us. It is a reasonable faith. Absolutely. So thank you all so much for joining us. I hope that you you've enjoyed this time, and hope that this has been something that is encouraging to you. And yes, if you do have any prayer requests, go ahead and type them in the chat, and then I will close this off. Gonna say, if all you had said was I'm an essential employee, I definitely would have understood. Like, that was a heavy statement on its own. I fully understand it. Family in Italy. Yeah, for all the students that were studying abroad or serving as student missionaries, that was a chaotic, and it still is a chaotic time. Absolutely. All right, Craig, also good to see you, Craig. I haven't seen you in a few years, so shout out. Awesome. Well, keep sharing. Keep sharing your prayer requests, and I'm gonna copy and paste these into Notepad so that I can keep them in my prayer throughout the week. But let's go ahead and pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we have spent together, and thank you for this technology that allows us to do so. I want to thank you that, Lord, you move regardless of what the level of our faith is. Lord, you often move despite ourselves, and despite the ways that we try and get in the way of what you're doing. And so, Lord, I just want to pray for each individual here, wherever they are, Lord, that you would remind them that they are valuable beyond their level of faith, beyond the strength of their faith. But Lord, they are valuable simply because they are created in your image and you have declared them so. Lord, fill each person with confidence knowing this. I want to pray for those that are working on the front lines, those that are essential employees. I want to pray for them as they are staying busy and trying to also stay safe. And Lord, we praise you for the continued employment through this time as well. Lord, I pray for those who have family that are either in lockdown areas or are struggling through trying to figure out quarantine and everything else. I pray for your protection over them. And Lord, for anyone else who's healing from anything, regardless of COVID-19, just any other ailment or injury or illness, Lord, I pray for your healing hand in each of those situations. And Lord, thank you for blessing us through this time together. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.